Well, Nick Xenophon is the most experienced of the disparate group of crossbenchers in the Senate these days. And on the University Deregulation Bill, he wants a comprehensive review of higher education policy before he'll support any fee increase for students. Senator Xenophon was in Indonesia last week with the Grand Mufti of Australia, pleading for clemency for Andrew Chan and Myuran Sukumaran. Today he's going to write to the Indonesian ambassador, proposing a delegation of MPs travel to Jakarta to discuss the drug problems within the archipelago. Nick Xenophon's in our Parliament House studio. Senator Xenophon, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Fran, and happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. We'll come to the education in a moment, but first to Indonesia. You're going to be writing to the Indonesian ambassador on behalf of Andrew Chan and Myuran Sukumaran. What specifically are you proposing?
Well, I think we need to deal with this issue with some humility and respect. That's the approach that the Grand Mufti took last week in Indonesia, which I think influenced a number of Indonesians who previously were in favour of the death penalty to reconsider their position, and that was very significant. Whether it influences enough is another matter that only time will tell, but I think that we need to acknowledge that there is a serious drug problem in Indonesia. There's a serious drug problem in our nation. How do you best combat that? I don't believe the death penalty is in any way the way to deal with that, particularly in a case with two young men who've actually not only turned their lives around and rehabilitated themselves, but they've actually rehabilitated others, according to governors of Kirkabun Prison. It will be a respectful communication with the Indonesian ambassador. I'm sure that I hope it will be received well, but I think that we need to acknowledge that there's a problem, but also point out that these two young men have actually helped people get off drugs in Kirkabun Prison in Bali.
Hasn't all this been put to the president, though? I mean, what are you actually proposing that you think will make a difference, change his mind? You're just trying to really offer him a feather to fly with to change his mind?
No, more than a feather. I would have thought a couple of big wings, actually. I think that this is a case where I think there is concern, and I want to be careful in terms of the use of my language, because I think the Prime Minister's language, I'm sure he didn't say it with a bad heart in any way. A few weeks ago, that linked aid, the tsunami aid, to the fate of these two young men was most unhelpful. I got overwhelmingly bad feedback over that when I was in Indonesia from the groups that I met. But I think that there is a case here to say that the drug problem, acknowledge how serious the drug problem is, talk to people on the ground. How can we best cooperate? Sure, there's cooperation between our police and Indonesian authorities, but I think that this involves something more than that, to acknowledge it as elected representatives, that there is a serious problem in Indonesia, a serious problem in our country. How do we best work on reducing the impact, the harmful effect of substance abuse?
I know you sat with a number of non-government groups in Indonesia last week to discuss these ideas. I'm wondering if you came away with any hope that Andrew Chan and Myuran Sukumaran could be saved, and whether that's been affected also over the weekend by the comments from the former Army General Prabowo Subianto, who was a contestant in last year's presidential election, of course. He said that while he supports capital punishment, the approach to execution should be flexible. Do you think he's likely to have much influence on the president?
Look, I think it was a significant intervention by Prabowo. I think it could indicate that if mercy was granted, if these two young men had their sentences commuted to life imprisonment, for instance, and never to be released, but not to be executed, the fact that Prabowo said what he said may give the president some cover, in the sense that he will know that the opposition, if the de facto opposition leader of Indonesia, will not be going for him politically. So that might give him a little bit of air.
It's 9 minutes to eight on breakfast. Our guest is independent senator in South Australia, Nick Xenophon. Nick Xenophon, the business before the Senate, the key business this week is the Higher Education Reform Bill. They're expecting a vote on Wednesday. The minister says everything is on the table except for deregulation itself, so he's clearly in the mood to compromise. Going to make any difference to you?
I'm not so sure if deregulation is the central pillar of these changes. And to echo Glenn Lazarus's comments to you, it's all about deregulation, because once you've deregulated, you can't get the genie back in the bottle. I acknowledge that the current demand-driven uncapped system is not sustainable in the longer term. I acknowledge that universities are doing it tough. That's why I proposed to Minister Pyne a number of weeks ago that there be a broad review of the higher education sector. It doesn't have to reinvent the wheel given the previous reviews, but to look at these issues, to look at the impact of deregulation, to also look at any alternatives by a panel with bipartisan cross-party support with terms of reference that have similar support. And in the meantime, if there was such a process that could be done within the next 6 to 12 months, universities ought to be able to raise their fees, say, in the order of 10%. The budget could get, the government could get half of that in savings. The other half could allow universities to tread water. Not a terribly elegant solution, but it would at least buy some genuine time for the university sector.
Okay, but bottom line is you won't vote for this package of reforms, even with compromise, unless there's an agreement to some kind of comprehensive review of university funding.
Effectively, that's the case. I think it's a bridge too far. I have to admire the Minister for his determination, but just because you're dogged doesn't mean you get a bone.
And talk about dogged, the Minister over the weekend was not backing away from his threat. He says it's just a stark reality that the $150 million in funding for scientific research won't be there if this legislation is blocked. They are tied together, even though he acknowledges it would mean potentially 1,700 researchers lose their jobs. You've been around politics a long time. Do you think the government would really carry out this threat?
Well, they can't, because the implications of that, it's not just about 1,700 scientists, some of our best and brightest minds. It would actually break the back of research in this country, not just for universities, but the work that universities do in the private sector, innovation, job-creating research that can lead to significant leaps and bounds for our business sector in terms of our export markets. For instance, in South Australia, they're doing some great stuff in the wine industry that could reap huge dividends. Look, you know, when I heard it, I saw red yesterday morning, and I thought that I had to, you know, put out a statement reminding Christopher Pyne he's not in student politics anymore. He is a very capable minister, but this is a serious miscalculation. I would urge him to back away from that. I think it's actually just got the backs of my crossbench colleagues up more than anything else. But it's absolutely critical that that research fund is maintained. We're already looking at losing scientists because of the uncertainty, because the funding runs out on the 30th of June. It's so critical that it is disconnected from any part of this debate so that there can be some certainty for that sector.
And just very briefly, because we're almost out of time, but I know you've spoken to Glenn Lazarus since he quit the Palmer United Party. You're trying to recruit him to your Coalition of Common Sense?
A very unfortunate acronym, Coalition of Common Sense. I should have said Coalition for Common Sense. The short answer is that Glenn and I will be talking more and more, as is appropriate. I'm looking forward to working with him, and I think he's going to do well as an independent in Queensland.
Senator Xenophon, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Senator Nick Xenophon from South Australia. It's 5 to 8 on Breakfast.